everybody. Glad to see you. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Happy Easter, everybody. We have a lot to celebrate today. First of all, a couple of announcements. Prayer meeting on Wednesday evenings. We do it through Zoom and the telephone, so I encourage you to, you can go on the website, www.galescreekchurch.com, and it'll, if you push prayer meeting, it goes right to us. So it starts at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. It's good to get to pray for people, so I encourage you to try. Then we have the food pantry. We have gleaners here at 11 on Wednesdays, and we have somebody here, or to if anybody has a special needs, why be sure and either come at 11 and you can see Sherry or Helen, or you can call and make an appointment. The bulletin has the information. And we are going to do The Chosen. It'll be a simple potluck, and we're doing it May 15th. And it'll be right after church. We'll have our potluck, and then we'll see episodes 5 and 6. So that'll be good. I also want to say that Carolyn and Fred have been married 50 years. We're having a celebration on Saturday. We're having a celebration on Saturday. So, and that's the day, too. Well, that's even better. So come and wish them well, and it's from noon until 3. Mm-hmm. This coming Saturday, the 23rd. Yeah. So come and tell them happy anniversary. That's awesome to be 50 years. It's great. So I encourage you to come. All right, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, we just come today just with joy because he did rise again. Oh, we know that he's alive. We know that he died for our sins, Lord, and you resurrected him, and we are just praising God for that. Father God, be with us in this service today. Let us just keep focused on you and the awesome, awesome things that you do for us. We give you all praise and glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's stand. We're going to go to our call to worship. And today it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. All right, we have great Easter songs to sing today. So, some of them just fit so well. It's exciting.
Christ the Lord is risen. Fought the battle won. Dearest and best, for a world. Thank you.
Happy Resurrection Day. Yes, the Lord God is good. Welcome to the house of the Lord. At this time, we are going to give back just a portion of what God has provided to us. We ask his blessings upon it, that it can be used for his glory in our congregation, in our city, in our state, and in our world. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for this glorious day. Thank you that you have blessed our lives so, so much in so many ways, not just with money, but with love and forgiveness and grace. Thank you for family. Thank you for friends. Thank you for community. We thank you even for the freedom to be able to gather together and bless your holy name. Bless us now, Lord God, as we give. We give monetarily to the building of your kingdom. Bless it mightily so we can use it for your glory, to reach out to others who don't yet know you, to bless others who do know you. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. For those of you who are not here with us, just a reminder for you who are with us in our media, social media, you can still give as well. Please go on to our website, click the links there, and give your donation. And we thank you for that. Thank you for supporting our ministry. God bless you.
My son Bill and his wife Christy are here.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, woohoo!
You know, I've been asking prayer for the people from Ukraine because I have about 20 co-workers that have family in Ukraine. One still, they haven't heard anything. But the others have, and they are just so blessed. And when I say, there's churches praying for you, they say, oh, please, don't stop. Keep praying for the Ukraine people. And pray for the Russian people, too, because there's some Russians that they don't want to be there. So we need to really lift them up. Any other praises? Please. Yes, Carolyn. Since I got my teeth not working here very good, I love to hear the red-winged blackbird sing. He has this beautiful song that he sings. And I wish I could try doing it, but it'd be squelching over the roof. So, and my sinus going, no, don't do it. So I won't do it. But I too agree. I just love hearing the birds sing. It's like a promise, isn't it? It's a blessing. Any other praises? Well, I do have another praise. Oh. All right. Spring is here when those that have been raised out in the tulies like we have. You go out for a walk and you see the wonderful wildflowers. The Eclipsa bulbosa is the Latin name for the fairy slipper here in the Pacific Northwest, which we call the lady slipper. But it's a fairy slipper, Eclipsa bulbosa, and it is beautiful. And if you pick enough bunches, you get quite a nice little fragrance. The fragrance is very sweet. Yes, it's a praise. It's a promise. Spring is sprung. Yes, Josh. Yay! And we see Kim and Betty too there too. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, Josh, we praise God for you every day. Every day. Every day. All right. Prayer requests. Yes. What? You're a little anemic, huh? Well, you know, I understand. Skyler. Skyler's asking prayer requests for his, just to get a little boost in the body. Yeah, looking for a reason why he's anemic. Yes, okay. And we're praying for your father, too, because his back is hurting. Dan Lathrop's back. Yes, Christy. Yes, we should. Christy's request a prayer for her mom, Janet, that the doctors can find what's going on, why she's not doing too well, and that she can be healed. And we're praying for her right now, and we'll get there too as we go down. We want to remember Wink and Phyllis. Wink is not doing well at all. He's had, last time I talked to him was Wednesday, and he had influenza A and influenza B. I understand just bronchitis, and now he feels nauseated. And my heart is just cut in two for this wonderful man, just a wonderful man of God. We just want to lift Wink up and Phyllis up in prayer. Ivan and Sarah and family, Sarah and Claire. Uncle Bill's little skeeter is Claire, by the way. Anyway.
Dawson.
Dawson, yeah, see. Dawson has COVID. Sarah and Dawson have COVID, is that right? Okay, now I got it. And we want to lift them up in prayer too. Any other prayer requests? Yes. Prayer for Lori Cooper, who's faces some lumpectomy. Okay. Just prayer for her that this goes well, please. And let's remember Don and Carol Nyan. Carol is still, she's got radiation chemotherapy, and just continue prayers for her, please. All right, any others? Jeremy. And Jeremy's co-worker, Brenda? Okay, Jeremy emphasized the boss. Please bring her back healthy. She fell and really made a big blue. Okay, she's got a bad knee, really swollen knee. So we want to lift her up in prayer, continue the prayer. Also, I have a friend at work. His name is Roy Burns. He's a co-worker. He's had some several health issues. And I've been telling him that I've been really praying for him, and I asked God, and I shared this with Pastor Teresa earlier today, that God would guide me to do what he wants me to do and continue this prayer that I gave him a New Testament. It's called How to Find God, and it is awesome. It's an awesome, awesome book. And it's just such a helper. And just pray that he opens it, that he reads the Word, that he's listening to the Word of God right now and gets that peace that passes all understanding. Please, please. Leo Hesselgesser, his third treatment is when? On Tuesday, and pray that things go well. He's fighting cancer. We want God to win this one, please. Any others? One more. Skylar has emphasized that there's churches in Germany that are no longer preaching the Bible and asking for people to stand up for Christ and go there and preach the Bible. Right? Right. Okay, let's, any other requests? Donna. Oh, Debbie. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Debbie. Debbie has two to share update on Lori Cooper. The surgery is operable. The cancer is operable to remove, and so she's looking forward to that and great relief. Also, we want to lift up a praise and continue prayer for Rhonda Vanderberg, who had knee surgery. She ended up having quite a large lump bone removed from her knee, if I heard the back of her knee. No wonder the lady couldn't move her. Ugh. But we want to praise God that she's on the mend and she's going to be with us. We're praising God for that. All right, shall we just go to a word of prayer? Great God, oh Lord, we lift our praises up to you right now, God. We praise you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, that without Christ we could not come to you. We could not have eternal life. We want to give you praise for that. Father God, we pray, oh Lord, right now that you be with Dan Lathrop with his back, with Skyler and finding out what's going on, why is he anemic, and with the German people, the Bible is not being taught in the churches, he says. Lord, we want this to change around. Bless our missionaries there, Father God. Bless Skyler's request. Lord, we pray, oh Lord, that you touch Wink, Father God, with your mighty hand. Wrap your arms around Wink and Phyllis and heal them, Lord. Heal them in the name of Jesus. Father God, we pray, O Lord, that you be with Ivan and Sarah family. Be with little Dawson, Lord. He's no little. He's a nice young man. We pray for healing there. And prayer, Lord, that you just touch that family, Lord. Heal them of the COVID, Father God. Father God, we pray, Almighty God, that you touch Christy's mom, Janet, right now, Father. Father God, reach from heaven and wrap her with your heavenly arms and embrace her and let her know that she's being embraced by your Holy Spirit, giving her the strength she needs, Lord, and that she claims the victory in you. In Jesus' name, we claim this victory. Father God, we pray, O Lord, that you be with Lori Cooper, Lord, with an update of the cancer is operable and that she will do well, Lord. Lord, we just pray for her, Lord. Lord, we pray for Don and Carol Ornion, God, that you touch Carol as she's going through the radiation and chemo, Lord, that you give her the strength and give Don the strength to be with her too, Father God. Father God, we praise you for Roy Burns, Lord. Lord, this man is a co-worker that Lord, I don't know if he knows you, but he's willing to hear me talk to you about God. God, I just thank you for that, Lord. I pray that he just opens your word and asks questions and reads and asks you questions, God, and you answer him. Father God, pray for Leo and his cancer, his third treatment coming up, God. We just pray, Lord, that you just touch him and give him the blessed assurance that only you can give, Father God. God, may he come to you and say, Lord, I need help. I can't do it on my own. Father God, oh, I pray, Lord, that you just be with Judy as she's witnessing to her family even more, Lord. Give her the strength that passes all understanding, God. God, we praise you for Rhonda's surgery. We pray that you help her continually heal fast, Lord, and may she get well, Lord, the physical therapy goes well with her, Father God. God, there's some special people out there, Lord, that I will keep nameless. You know who I'm thinking of, Lord, that have asked prayer, Lord. And Lord, there's those that want prayer, Lord, that are afraid to ask for prayer. We pray a special blessing, Lord, that you move upon them with your Holy Spirit now. Give them peace that passeth all understanding. Give them the joy of the Lord, and that you give them the rest assurance that Jesus is mine. Father God, we pray, Lord, that you touch Teresa's heart, Pastor Teresa, as she's coming forward to share the word of God to each and one of us, that we're receptive to you. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all his people said, Amen. Are we doing children's church? We've got two. If you're brave enough to come up here, we pray for you. Come on up. I love this one coming up here soon. You're going to start a communication. Excuse me, it's not a thing there, it's a moose. It's a moose. I'm saying for that.
Praise the Lord. God is so good. It's so wonderful to see so many faces here today. Praise God for family. Amen. It's good to be able to come together and just be together. God bless each of you. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Teresa. And I'm just glad to be here with you today. And glad you have chosen to be here with us. So, Thank you for joining us as we celebrate the King of Kings. We've been on a journey these last few weeks, following Jesus on the way to the cross. From his birth, his young days, to his first public miracle, his baptism, and even the calling of his disciples, up to his painful pleas to God, his Father, before he was betrayed and killed. By sacrificing his life, Jesus became the new covenant. He paid the price for all of humanity's sin, so we can now be in right relationship with God. Today's reading is found in John chapter 20. Sorry, it's a misprint up there. Yes, thank you. John 20. And we're just going to be focusing on the first few verses of that chapter, verses 1 through 9. John chapter 20. I'm going to be sharing from the New Living Translation, but I always invite people, choose whichever translation you prefer. It's all the Word of God. It's put into different words so that we can better understand God's Word. New Living Translation says this: early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. Verse 9 says this: for until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that Jesus must rise from the dead. Amen to God's word. This is the moment we've been waiting for. Resurrection Sunday is the most important holy day for Christians. The reason we follow Jesus was to witness his birth, his death, and his resurrection. This passage is told from the disciple John's perspective. And what John shares with us is the bewildering scene of the empty tomb. He tells how Mary, I like to call her Mags, Mary Magdalena, Maggie. Well, now I can't wait to get to heaven to talk to her. I'm gonna say, "Maggie, baby girl, tell me how that all went. You know, I can only imagine what you felt like when you stood there, you got there, what in the world," right? So he tells us about Mags, how she's so faithful to return to the tomb to finish honoring his corpse with oils and fragrances. Now, the other women are actually with her, a lot of Marys, by the way, but John mentions her name since she led the group and actually ended up speaking with Jesus. He tells us one of the disciples got to the tomb steps before Peter does, but it's actually Peter who was bold enough to enter in and look, and then the other disciple follows suit. But look at what he shares in that last verse. The second disciple believed. None of the disciples understood Jesus when he said he needed to die and would rise again. He kept telling them, but they didn't understand. It was like, okay. Well, we're still going to follow you, Jesus, and we're going to watch you perform miracles, and we're going to go out, and we're going to teach other people to believe in you and to come to you.
that they still really didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. And it wasn't until then when that second disciple goes in and sees for himself, Eureka, the light bulb came on. Now, some may wonder, well, like, why didn't they understand? Because they were caught up. They were caught up in seeing Jesus as the Messiah in the powerful way. And then after he died, they were scattered. They were in shock. Like, wait, did this really just happen? Is he really gone, our dear rabbi? So they're scattered right now, and they still, most of them, not understanding. It's only that second disciple who steps in and sees it. Peter still walks away, not fully understanding. Now, some of us may wonder why it is important for Jesus to rise from the dead. And that is a valid question. Because you may ask, isn't Jesus' death enough? We learned last week that Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread is all about commemorating God's salvation and his provision of his special lamb who would die for all the sins of all people forever. We discussed the Israelites not having enough time to fully bake their bread, leaving the yeast out of the recipe so that the loaves would bake faster and then they could be ready to leave Egypt at a moment's notice. Additionally, in corporation with the bread, the Israelites were instructed to kill a lamb or a goat and sprinkle its blood on the doorposts. The death angel would pass over their home if he saw that sign of blood, which was the payment for life. If you wanted to keep life, someone had to die and blood needed to be shed. So if Jesus then is like the Passover lamb who sacrificed his life and shed his blood so that we could live eternally with God, then why would being raised from the dead be important? The wages of sin is death, not resurrection. That's what the scripture teaches, right, Sister Susie? Yes, Jesus did pay the price for our sin by dying, just as the pure lamb and the spotless goats who were sacrificed for sin offerings in the Old Testament. We need to know also that Old Testament scripture spoke of the Messiah dying and being resurrected as well. So, in order to fulfill the complete prophecies, Jesus not only died, but he was resurrected, further proving he is God's Messiah and that God keeps his word. This is why we can believe in God, because he is faithful. He keeps his promises. And this is one reason Jesus must return from the dead. We see references to the Messiah dying and returning from the dead in a couple of scriptures, and I'll share them with you. The first one, Psalm 16. Write this down. Take notes if you can. Psalm 16, verses 10 and 11. Listen to what it says. For you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. So this is what we call a double entendre. This has two meanings, because it's talking about the Holy One, who is the Messiah, God's Messiah, Jesus the Christ. That Holy One will not rot in the grave. So if you die, what happens to you? You decompose. And you rot in your grave. So if you remember one of the miracles that Jesus performed when he raised Lazarus from the dead, people got antsy, because when he approached, they were like, now see, Jesus, now had you come earlier, you could have saved him. But see, now that he's in the grave and he's been there a while,
No. No, no, no. What are you trying to do here? So everyone knows that when you die, you decay, you rot. But this scripture says, not the Holy One. The Holy One will not rot in the grave. So this already tells us that Jesus will rise from the grave. But not only Jesus, it speaks to those who believe will be granted joy and live in the presence of God forever. Look at Psalm 22. Now, Psalm 22, you have to read the whole scripture. So I'm just going to point this out to you, not read it right now. But it is a wonderful picture of Jesus' crucifixion. So the first half, I mean, this is back in Psalms, way before Christ is even born. It describes what Jesus experiences as he is crucified. Then when you read the second half of that chapter, it speaks to his life post-resurrection, because it talks about what he is going to do. It's just beautiful. So again, it's not just in the dying. It's him also coming back to life. God keeps his promises. He keeps his word. Isaiah 53, another wonderful chapter when you want to recognize and see that God had this thought out way before Jesus was ever going to be born. Way before we got here, he thought it all through. Isaiah 53 verses 10 and 11 specifically states this. It's Isaiah describing Jesus' suffering and then presumes, again, like in Psalm 22, his resurrection. Because the prophet writes, Jesus will know that his suffering wasn't in vain and that he saved many. Now, you can't know those things unless you are alive to know it, right? So listen. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief, talking about Jesus. Yet, when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. Listen to that. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. What is the Lord's good plan? To save humanity. Who are the many descendants of Christ? His brothers and sisters. Yes. Those who believe in God's Messiah. Beautiful. Verse 11. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. Amen. Do you see what God is doing right there in the scripture? He's saying, I've thought this all the way out. I'm going to send my Messiah. And yes, it is going to be a hard road because he is going to suffer. But in the end, he will know that his suffering is not in vain, because his sacrifice will save many and allow humanity back into right relationship with God, which is what God wanted from the beginning when he created us in his very image. To know him, to be like him, to be in relationship with him. Daniel 12, another good one. Again, you really cannot understand Jesus unless you understand the Old Testament. That is where you meet God the Father, who says, look, this is my plan. I know humanity is going to fall short, but I have made a way back to myself. Look at Daniel 12. Daniel 12, verse 2, talks about resurrection of all of humanity. And this is why when you read in the New Testament, there's a split between some of the leaders, the religious leaders, Pharisees and Sadducees, because there's sections who believe in the resurrection of us all. And there are those who are like, yeah, I think that's just more of a theory. I don't think God really intends to bring us back to life. But it says right here, Daniel 12, verse 2 says this, many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting disgrace. When we connect all the scriptures, we see the Messiah being resurrected as well as all of humanity. And we see also later teachings, such as Paul, that Jesus will lead the resurrection of the dead. Now, this is where we see it come together. Jesus coming back to life, and then he's going to one day bring the rest of us back to life. Now, someone may say, is that what's going to happen? Yes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture to read. At funerals, when people are grieving, to remind them, this isn't over. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you read verses 13 through 18, it's great, great inspiration. Allow me to share it with you. And now, dear brothers and sisters, this is Paul speaking, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like the people who have no hope. Because people who don't believe in God, when their loved ones pass, it's the end of the world for them, and oh, that's it. But those of us who know Christ, we know better. We know differently. So Paul says, don't be like those who don't have hope. Verse 14, for since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. Verse 15, we tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. That, my friends, is resurrection. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then, we will be with the Lord forever. Paul says in verse 18, so encourage each other with these words. Somebody say amen. This is why we gather on Resurrection Sunday and we say, thank you, God. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for being faithful to your word. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ. And some of us might be selfish like me and say, thank you, Lord, for saving those people. But really, thank you for saving me. Because even if none of those other people needed you, I need you. So thank you, God, for sending your son to save me, little old me. Bless your holy name. Paul says, encourage each other with these words, because our bodies may become diseased. As we've heard, we've had prayers going out for those who are ill. We will mourn the loss of those who pass before us. But the grave is not the end. The grave is not the end. The second reason Jesus must be resurrected is to defeat death, which also is foretold by the prophet Isaiah. Now, again, you got to go back to the Old Testament to understand who Jesus is and why he is doing what he does. Isaiah 25, verses 8 and 9. Thank you, Sister Debbie, for putting those up there. Isaiah 25, verses 8 and 9 reads this. He will swallow up death forever.
The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against his land and people. The Lord has spoken. That's another way of saying, and that's just how it's going to be. God has declared it. Verse 9 says, in that day, the people will proclaim, this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord in whom we trusted. Let us rejoice in the salvation he brings. Amen. Death swallowed up forever. So if you're wondering, now I still don't get it. What are you saying exactly? It simply is this, Sister Carolyn. Death is our enemy. Remember, we talked about it a few Sundays ago. It can take things in our life. We can die mentally, socially, emotionally. It can take our actual physical lives, right? And that's why we have funerals and memorial services. Without God's salvation, death of our soul can happen as well. And then we die spiritually. So when Jesus returned from the grave, he demonstrated his absolute power over physical and spiritual death. We have victory in Jesus because he defeated death. Amen. So again, the two takeaways for today are this. Firstly, that Christ's resurrection shows God to be faithful and true. God kept his word and revealed his plan of salvation through Jesus when he lived here on the earth. The second takeaway is that Jesus has all power in his hand. And we know this because he is the firstborn from death. He died and was resurrected, and he will never die again. Now, if you look back, Old Testament and New, those who experienced the miracle of being brought back to life, guess what? They died again. Eventually, they died again, and they're in their grave. This is why Jesus is the firstborn from resurrection, because he didn't die a second time. He conquered death for us. Bless his holy name. He died and was resurrected, never to die again. And when we accept his death and his resurrection, we will live forever with God, because that is God's plan. Even if we physically die, we will not die spiritually when we believe in Jesus Christ. God has promised that Christ will return for those of us who have died and resurrect us. And for those of us who are yet living, we will all join them and live with the Father forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. As I close, I want to challenge you to think about the ways Jesus has granted you victory. You know, it's so easy to forget. We have so many responsibilities, so many things that we have to do in life, so many things that come up against obstacles that might get in our way. And so we may actually forget that we have victory in Jesus. So I want to challenge you this very week to think about, stop and pause. Lord, how many times have you granted me victory? I want you to make a list of the ways that Jesus Christ has saved you. Now, some people may say, ooh, that's going to be a whole journal. That's okay. Just think about this very week
these last few days. How is God showing up in your life?
Those lists are going to do two things. One, remind you that you have victory and salvation in Jesus. And then two, invite you to give thanks to God for the victories in your life, for his salvation, instead of complaining and complaining and complaining about what's not right. You can stop and pause and say, thank you, God. My hip might hurt, or the knee might be bad, or the gas prices are way out of whack. Everything's wackadoodle in the world, but you know what? I am victorious through Christ Jesus. He has saved me. And so then you can go and share God's goodness with others. Let's pray. Dear God, you are so, so, so good. We thank you because you are so, so good. Thank you for this day to celebrate your salvation. Thank you for the Lamb that was slain to take away the sin of the world. Thank you that Jesus died and was resurrected with power and victory over death, so that we too can be victorious in this life and live forever with you. Praise your holy name. Help us, God. Help us to share our stories of victory with others. Help us to live our lives that others will see and know that you have saved us spiritually and that you save us daily in this life. We pray now, Lord God, for the one who is thinking about giving their life to you. I pray you give them courage. Give them wisdom. May your Holy Spirit wrap around them and open their minds and their hearts so that they will walk with you. Trust you. We thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We bless your holy name and we say thank you for your Son. Thank you that he lived a living testimony and witness to us of how to be. Thank you that he died. He suffered for us. He took every single last sin of all of us forever and ever. Took our place so that we might live with you in eternity. Thank you that he rose from the grave victorious. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Bless God, we have a closing song and then we want to fellowship with one another on Resurrection Sunday.
Stand and close with He is Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ is Lord, and he can be Lord in our lives if we let him. We have to choose to let him be Lord. My prayer for you this week, it is that you really embrace it. Embrace that Jesus Christ can be Lord in your life and that he loves you and cares for you, has died so that you can have victory, that you can be free in Christ Jesus. Go now in his grace. Go and share his love with others. Bring hope to those in this world that is so dark and without hope. Shine, shine brightly for Christ, that others will know who God is through you. Amen. Let's fellowship. Hug someone that you haven't seen in a long time. Introduce. Bless you.